29, which is found on page 20. We're in the middle of the Heidelberg's focus on the Lord's Supper. And so Lord's Day 29 talks about how we view the bread and the wine more specifically. So questions and answers 78 and 79. Please respond to the questions. Do then the bread and the wine become the real body and blood of Christ? No. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, nor becomes washing away of sins itself, being the only divine token. Why then does Christ call the bread of his body then the cup of his blood, or the New Testament in his blood, and the Apostle Paul the communion of the body and the blood of Christ? Christ speaks thus with great cause, namely, not only to teach us thereby that like as the bread and the wine sustain this temporal life, so also his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink of our souls unto eternal life. But much more by this visible sign and pledge to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the working of the Holy Spirit, as we receive by the mouth of the body these holy tokens in remembrance of him, and that all his suffering and obedience are as certainly our own, as if we ourselves had suffered and done all in our own person. Amen. Saints of God, if you're on a road trip, and especially if you've been on the road for a long time, maybe you've gone across through states, and then you get to the point where you start getting hungry, you start seeing all the billboards, and you ask, your mom or dad or your spouse or whoever's in the car, hey, can we stop somewhere to eat something? And if the person responds by saying to you, well, didn't you see a billboard of Chick-fil-A? I mean, just think on that and just, think of those chicken sandwiches and that'll make you filled. Of course, that would be silly. No one would really say that. And more than that, if we were to hear that, we would start getting more hangry, right? But the billboards have a purpose. But they're not the reality itself, right? The signs have a purpose to point us to the real thing, to be satisfied in whatever that sign is pointing us to. That's how we are to think on the bread and the wine, which we have the privilege of serving this morning or this afternoon. But, there's always a but, there are four words that have caused churches to divide over. A lot of division happens over these four words, which come from our Lord Jesus Christ during the Last Supper, when he says, this is my body. This is my body. And if I can, at least this helps me to sort of understand the different takes on and the interpretations of that short phrase from our Lord. The Catholics focus on the word is, at least in my estimation. They focus on the word is since they believe that the bread and wine literally is the real flesh and blood of Jesus. The Lutherans, our Lutheran friends, hopefully they're not listening, they focus on the word my, because although they don't believe that the elements transform into the real flesh of and body of Jesus, they still believe that Jesus is there somehow. It's hard to understand, it's beyond our comprehension, but Jesus physically still is present. Even if we're not literally chewing on his body or his blood. The Reform focus on the word body because we want to protect the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to protect the notion that that Christ's body, which now reigns in heaven, who is literally seated at the right hand of the Father, remains there. So then if we were to think that the bread and wine literally become Jesus Christ in the flesh and in his blood, that would do violence to his human nature. Our human nature is only can be in one place at a time. Right? We can't multiply ourselves. We're not omnipresent. We're one place at a time. And so Jesus, being consistent with our human nature, must remain that way as well. But we don't have to use theology and logic to come to this conclusion. We can just go to the event itself. Right, the event of the Lord's Supper, when he was seated with his disciples, and they were enjoying the Passover, actually the last celebration of the Passover, which would be the first Lord's Supper ever served. But he points them to he lifts up a piece of bread that they were enjoying, and he says to them, "This is my body." Now, not one of the disciples would think, wow, I'm about to chew on Jesus' arm. You know, no one is thinking that they're literally going to drink his blood. Right? And yet, Jesus says those words, "This is my body." The question is why? Right? Why would he say such a literal statement if what he is meaning by that is that this bread and this wine represent his true body and his true blood? Why would he say such a thing? Well, our catechism helps us in a couple of ways. And actually, I was reading a commentary from G.I. Williamson, who's a old fuddy-duddy pastor, but he helps out in this with this thought. That think about it, if Jesus were to rephrase that and say, "This is my bread, which was broken for you," that would take on a whole completely new meaning, wouldn't it? Because the focus would be on the bread itself. The focus would be on the elements themselves. So then we would be worshiping bread and wine, which is silly. You know, we don't do that. The personal significance would be lost. So based on that statement, the focus is on the elements, but Jesus decides out of his wisdom, out of his really, his compassion to communicate to us that what is taking place is in fact real. His grace is not a figment of our imagination. It's not he's not playing pretend. No, he is saying this bread and this wine are my body and my blood, because what he would do on the cross is in fact real. What he accomplished was, in fact, real. The payment for your sin was real. Him being abandoned by his own Father was real. Him laying at the cross and dying, drawing his last breath, was real. So then when we receive the bread and the wine, we should think, this is what my Lord has done for me. This is how much he loves me. This is my Savior whom I worship. This is my Jesus whom I am approaching and whom I am fellowshipping with through the Holy Spirit. Because we do believe that Christ is present, but not physically, but through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Just as we believe that when we gather together and worship, God says, "I will be with you. My Holy Spirit will be with you in a special way." So that the reality of even our worship that we do every Lord's Day is because of the Holy Spirit that makes it into a reality and not just some formalism, this, you know, playing religion kind of thing. But Jesus is in fact present, and you are approaching him when you are receiving the bread and the wine, because they point to his real grace that has been accomplished for you. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 29 with that.